The Mayapur Festival was in March of 1975. So this was 10 years. Prabhupada came to America in 1965. So now 10 years have gone by, and Prabhupada's traveling. Imagine, 10 years later, everywhere he goes, there's temples. His temples, or his Krishna's temples. He never said they were his temples, they were Krishna's temples. So in 10 years, the holy name had never left that area of India, Varsha. Now in 10 years, everywhere he went, people just like you and me were chanting Hare Krishna. And he's seeing this. So when I look back at the time, you know, it was just what was happening. It's just what our life was. When I was with Prabhupada, that's just what I did. I just cooked and massaged for him, and Prabhupada gave classes, and I just took everything, as I say, for granted. This is what life was like. But here was this person who made all of this happen all around the world. So this is just a little bit of Srila Prabhupada. So as I said, in the West, of course, is where he brought this Maha Mantra to every town and village. So Prabhupada was very excited. I was describing yesterday how excited he was to go back to Vrindavan for Radha Damodar temple during Kartik for that 1 month. That was 1972. So now 3 years have gone by, and Prabhupada's traveling to Mayapur. This is the home of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Gornatai on the altar, who they're holding out their hands. What are they? They're just distributing love of Godhead freely. So this is what Srila Prabhupada was doing. So after going to through Hawaii, and then he stopped in Los Angeles, which was a very well-established temple. Then he went to Mexico City. So now Mexico City, at this time they had Radha Krishna deities. It was also the temple that had been there for some years. And there were hundreds of devotees in the temple room. And Gornatai was there. And Prabhupada arrived, and they gave him a police escort from the airport to the temple. And Prabhupada said, "Oh, this is very nice." You know, he went right through. He didn't even have to go through security, customs, any of these things. So that was very nice. And he was personally taking care of everything. And one thing that was interesting was, as we were riding to the temple, his GBC was Vidyananda Maharaj, who he established a Spanish BBT, and among so many other things he was doing. And they were distributing Prabhupada's books profusely in Spanish. So he was telling that to Prabhupada all the way on the ride, how they were doing this in the BBT, and so many books were being printed and sold. And Prabhupada was listening and hearing all these things, and was very pleased. And we got into the temple. And as soon as we arrived at the temple, Prabhupada gave a short class, and then he went to his room. And now it's just about lunchtime. So he said to me, "Bring me the deity offering," which was this was the lunch Raj Bhog offering that was offered to the deities. So I brought it into Prabhupada, and Vidyananda Maharaj was there, and I was there, and a few other devotees. And Prabhupada looked at it, and then he took some puri, and he said, and he took some dal, and he said, "Who has made this?" And Maharaj said, "Oh, such and such." And Prabhupada said, "This is terrible." He said, "These puris, they're terrible." He said, "They're like cardboard. And the dal," he said, "it's like mud." He said, "You're giving this to the deities?" So everything changed. So he just went on saying, he said, "Radha Krishna is here." He said, "They have to be served first class. They must be given first class food stuff." He said, "How can they eat this?" So it was so interesting because, see, we considered the most important thing was book distribution. Prabhupada always said, "Most important, distribute my books, distribute my books." So here Maharaj was telling him all these wonderful things he was doing. And as soon as he got into his room, Prabhupada started telling him all the terrible things he was doing. This is where Prabhupada would chastise, especially if he thought, well, feeling quite happy with our service. Then he would let me know, you have so much service to do. But these, you know, these were called the two tracks, right? In devotional service, you have the worship of the deity, and of course the book distribution. Prabhupada said these two things. And he said that once to one devotee, who again, he wanted to distribute Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada said that was the most important, distribute my books. So he wrote Prabhupada a letter and said he had this program he was doing, but he thought maybe that he should stop and start distributing Prabhupada's books. He said, because you say that's the most important. And Prabhupada said, yes, it is the most important. He says, and worshiping the deity is most important. And chanting your rounds is most important. He said, everything is most important. So Prabhupada used that most important in a slightly different way. But he would do that as he was going to the temples. How serious we have to be. The deities are there to serve them. So then in the crowd, one day, one elderly lady, devotee lady, the whole class was being translated from English into Spanish by Vidyananda Maharaj, which was also unusual. Prabhupada, usually classes were never translated, but they were translating them into Spanish. And at the end of class, because Prabhupada was talking about the time of death and how important it is to prepare for the time of death so that we can remember Krishna. So this lady asked, and she said, Prabhupada, is it okay if at the time of death we remember you? We don't remember Krishna, but if we remember you at the time of death. And Prabhupada smiled. He said, yes, that's okay. So he stayed there for a week. And then the next stop was Caracas, South America. Now this is his first trip to South America. His first trip to Caracas, Venezuela. And he was going to stay there for a week as well. And it was a morning flight. So, as I said, Prabhupada, he would always, in the airplane, Prabhupada would always sit at the window seat. And then I would sit next to him, and if there was a third seat, then secretary would sit in that seat. So it was just maybe 2 or 3 hour flight. And very important to Prabhupada, of course, was prasadam. So whenever Prabhupada was flying anywhere, we would have prasadam on the plane as well. We'd take a bag. So this one devotee, she made one of Prabhupada's favorite preparations, which was puffed rice. What do you call it? So it was puffed rice, and Prabhupada liked with peanuts. And then he would have cucumber on the side like that, and a nice chawn, so it was spiced, salty. And so she made a bag of this for the flight. So it was always exciting flying to Srila Prabhupada. It was so much fun. So we got on the plane, and again Prabhupada went. And there was just one aisle with 3 seats on either side. And we were about in the middle. So Prabhupada went, sat next to the window, and I sat next to him. Paramahamsa Swami, he sat next to me. He was at the aisle. So everything happens, the plane takes off. So within 10 minutes, as soon as the plane takes off, Prabhupada says, okay. He said, prasadam. So I opened up the bag, and inside there was the puffed rice, and it was wrapped in aluminum foil. So I just opened it up, and I put Prabhupada's tray down, and put it in front of Prabhupada. So he would take prasadam so beautifully. You know, you see some videos Prabhupada taking, push it in, that, and he would chew very well. Prabhupada would chew his food properly, you know. Just everything he did was just right. And we're sitting there, just chanting or something, watching Prabhupada take prasadam. So he ate about half of it, the puffed rice, and then he just looked and said, like that, he would just, you know, roll his head and say, okay. So, and I put my table down and I took it and I put it in front of me and I ripped the foil in half and I put half on one for Paramahamsa, the other half for me. So now Paramahamsa Swami and I were taking prasadam, Prabhupada's remnants, maha maha prasadam. This is what we lived on. So we're both eating very happily. And as we're taking prasadam, the stewardess, there's one stewardess lady, she's walking down the aisle. And of course, we're the only Hare Krishnas in the airplane. There are no other Hare Krishnas in shaved heads and tilak and dhotis. I'm in white, and Prabhupada and my godbrother, they're in their saffron sannyasi cloth. So she walks down and she stops right in front of Paramahamsa. And she looked at us. And she reached over Paramahamsa. And she put her hand in my plate. And she grabbed a handful of puffed rice. And she put it in her mouth. And I was in complete shock. She just reached in and took it and started eating it. And then she looked at me and said, "Oh, this is very nice," she said. She said, "What is it?" And I'm like, "Puffed rice." And Prabhupada just sitting there like nothing's happening at all. Paramahamsa, he was eating still. And she said, "Oh, this is very good." She said, "You know, why do you have this?" I said, "Well, you know, we're vegetarian and we only eat, you know, what we prepare and all." She said, "Oh." She said, "Would you like anything else? Is there anything I could get you?" So I looked at Prabhupada. I said, "Prabhupada, would you like anything?" Prabhupada just said, "Hot milk." So Prabhupada told me. So then I looked at her and I said, "We'll all have hot milk." And she said, "Would you like anything else?" She said, "I can go into first class." She said, "They have fruit, you know, cheese." She said, "If you want, I can bring you some fruit and cheese and all." And I looked at Prabhupada and he said, "Okay." I said, "Yes, we'll have all have fruit and cheese." So she left and she went back up and she came back with these trays and it had hot milk and the fruit was all cut up and just like I would have done for Prabhupada. You know? And the cheese was there and put it down, so we all had our hot milk and fruit. And then she went off and I looked at Prabhupada. I said, "Prabhupada, wasn't that amazing?" I'm thinking she took Prabhupada's remnants, right? Who? No one, not even his disciples would reach into Prabhupada and take remnants like that. And Prabhupada said, I said, and she's brought all this prasadam, you know, all the fruit. And Prabhupada said, yes, he said, "Women, they have a natural tendency to serve." And I'm thinking, yeah, but not that natural. She took your remnants, right? She was a professional on an airplane and she took food off of my plate. If I would have reported her, they would have fired her. But all I could think was, this is the most fortunate person in the whole world to get Prabhupada's. You know, we would fight each other to get to the plate. When I would carry the plate, devotees, they would, you know, push each other out of the way to get the Prabhupada's remnants. Once a devotee, he was the temple president of Chicago, and it was in Mayapur, and he came up to me and he said, "I want Prabhupada's remnants." He said, "I want this whole plate." I said, "I distribute it, you know, everywhere." I said, "I can't do that." He said, "I'll give you $100. He said, "I want Prabhupada's remnants today. I want his lunch plate." And I said, "No," I said, "I can't do that." So I just went around and distributed to everyone. But that's what it was like to get Prabhupada's remnants, Krishna's pure devotee, food right from his plate, especially the things that had his teeth marks on them. He would go crazy for these things. And she got it automatically. Somehow she just, to me that just showed Krishna's in your heart, had the super souls in there. And somehow or other she just had this desire. So it's always been one of my favorite stories, and I would tell it a lot just because it was just so mystical. It was such a mystical thing that happened. So one time I was telling this story, it was about 10 years ago, and afterwards this devotee came up to me, a devotee boy. He said, "You know that story about the puffed rice?" He said, "That's really amazing." I said, "Yeah." I said, "It's amazing." He said, "Well, you know." He said, "You know what happened?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, I you know, from South America, he said, and South America was a very big country, like North America, and they would do Sankirtan, and in the countries, there's a lot of villages and like that, and so they would go village to village, and they would do just like in India style, they would go to different towns and villages, and they would have Harinam in the center, just like you did yesterday in the center square, and then they would go door to door, and show people Prabhupada's books, and so he said, we were in a village. He said, this really small village. And we did Harinam. He said, then we were going door to door. He said, and I went to this one house. He said, and I knocked on the door. He said, and the lady opened the door. And immediately she invited me into the house. He said, in the house, she was a devotee. He said, and in the house there were pictures of Krishna. She had deities. Chanting japa. And he said, we had never been there. No devotee had ever been to this place. And he said, how did you hear about Krishna consciousness? And she said that I was, you know, worked for the airline and she was a stewardess. So she was the person who took this prasadam. She took Prabhupada's remnants and she just became, that was it. She just dedicated her life. She was living. She just went and lived off in some simple little place. And she's chanting Hare Krishna. And she was a devotee by taking Prabhupada's remnants, the power of pure devotee. So this was this woman. And of all the things, he happened to go to her door. You know, what were the chances for something like that to happen? So when it happened, I knew it was really amazing. And Prabhupada was so amazing. Because he also, Prabhupada knew everything, you know. And Prabhupada just said, that was nothing. But here Prabhupada just gave her that devotion in her heart, you know, just in that one moment. And from then on, she just wanted to serve the devotees. So that was on the way to Caracas from Mexico City. So, now, again, Prabhupada, he's in just a few weeks, in 2 weeks, he's going to be in Mayapur for a big festival. So, from Caracas, I'll just tell one quick story in Caracas. So Caracas was very special to me because I always say I was Prabhupada's servant for 2.5 years, but it wasn't 2.5 continuous years. I was a servant for 16 months and then I took a break. And for 6 months, I wound up in Caracas, Venezuela. And I was like the temple, I was the Brahmin, the only Brahmin in the temple. It was just a new temple, and the temple president, Chuksukananda, invited me there. So I went there, and I spent 6 months there, and giving class in English every day, and it translated into Spanish. And so I knew all the devotees in Caracas. So I was very eager to go to Caracas, because I would get to see my god brothers and god sisters that I hadn't seen, and they would get to see me as Prabhupada's servant, who they all knew I was Prabhupada's servant. But now I was with Prabhupada again, so I was very excited to see them all. So we arrived at the temple, and as Prabhupada would do, he came and he went, and he sat in the Vyasasana. And Mexico had been a little chilly. This was just the end of February, I think. And so Prabhupada had a sweater and socks on. So as soon as we get into the temple room in Caracas, it was just a small room, like half this size. And Prabhupada went and he sat on the Vyasasana. And my business, of course, was to set everything up for Prabhupada as he prepared to speak. So he went and sat down. So I just started looking around and I saw, you know, this god brother and Javi Das and this one here. And I was just smiling, you know, because now here I was with Prabhupada again. So I was very happy. And I'm smiling and I'm looking and all of a sudden I get hit in the head. And I turned around and Prabhupada had taken his socks off and he rolled them into a ball and he threw them at me. Because that's what I would do, would be take his socks off for him. But instead I forgot what I was doing. And I was just busy feeling very happy that everyone was seeing I was Prabhupada's servant. But I wasn't serving Prabhupada, I was just enjoying. So Prabhupada hit me in the head with his socks. So then I came back to my consciousness and got his glasses out of his, you know, little glass case and everything, and so then he could speak. So. So then while we were there, I remember one evening, everyone's in Prabhupada's room, he was giving darshan to the devotees, and there were mosquitoes in the room. And one of the devotees, as we would always say these kind of things to Prabhupada, so the devotee was, the mosquitoes were attacking him, you know, this devotee, and he said, yeah, like this, and he said, Prabhupada, he said, the mosquitoes here, he said, they're bothering all of us, but he said, they have respect for you because you're a pure devotee and they're not bothering you. And Prabhupada smiled, he said, yes. He said, here they have respect, he said, but in Vrindavan they have no such respect. It was in Vrindavan, there were mosquitoes, they also attacked Prabhupada in Vrindavan. So he always, he deflected it. And said, but he didn't deny it, he said, yes, he said, here they're respectful, he said. So when he arrived in Caracas, on the altar was Lord Nityananda, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were on the altar. So Prabhupada spoke about how merciful they are. Merciful Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda to distributing love of Godhead to everyone. And he was seeing this, because Prabhupada was doing this. They were giving Prabhupada that service to do this, to carry the holy name to all these places around the world. But Prabhupada, he was really becoming overwhelmed as he was traveling and seeing people are chanting Hare Krishna everywhere. It wasn't like 10 years ago in New York City. You know, now everywhere he went, it was just Krishna consciousness was flourishing. So from Caracas he went to Miami, and he stayed in Miami just one night, 2 days and one night. And he arrived at the temple, and he sat down in the Vyasasam, which would be at the back of the room. And of course he looks up, and who's standing on the altar? Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, and now they're there in Miami. So again, Prabhupada starts speaking. He said, how fortunate. He said, we're so fortunate. He said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He said, without any discrimination, they're distributing love of God. So this is what Prabhupada was doing, but he was overwhelmed. He was seeing hundreds of devotees all chanting Hare Krishna, and he was becoming overwhelmed with emotion every place he went. And he said, Lord Chaitanya is so kind. He said he doesn't even accept any offense. He said he's so merciful. Imagine how merciful he is. He said he doesn't even accept offense. He said someday, he said, maybe you can establish Radha Krishna deities. He said, but if you do, he said, then you must be very careful. He said, not to commit any offense. He said, but even if you don't, he said, that's okay, he said, because Radha Krishna are here than Lord Chaitanya. He said, so it's okay. He said, but Lord Chaitanya is so kind, he said, he doesn't accept any offense. He was speaking so personally. And then he said, that doesn't mean you should commit offenses. He said, you have to be very careful, but he said, he's so merciful. So he just stayed there a day, and then he went to this place that became very famous. A trip to Atlanta, and he stayed in Atlanta for 3 days, and there they had, right next to the temple was another house where Prabhupada stayed for 3 days. They still have that place, and now it's just Prabhupada's quarters. He was only there one time for 3 days, but it's one of Prabhupada's quarters in the Western world where he stayed. And when he arrived at the temple, he went in, and then the temple was about this long, but narrower. But it was very, very nicely done. And Prabhupada's Vyasasana again was at the back. And he came in and sat down, and there were hundreds of his American disciples there, happy to see him again. And they had a big kirtan. And then Prabhupada started speaking. And he said, he's looking on the altar, and who is on the altar? Everywhere he goes, Lord Chaitanya is right there, Lord Nityananda are right there, just giving Krishna praying to everyone freely. So Prabhupada looked up, And he said, so, he said, we have just been, he said, in this trip, he said, we went to Los Angeles, and he started to describe, he said, we started in Los Angeles, he said, and then we went to, and he looked at me, and I said, Caracas, he said, Caracas, he said, then Miami, and he said, so now we're here in Atlanta. He said, and I think your temple is the nicest. And all the devotees, and then, and he was very choked up. Each place, it seemed like he was getting more emotional. So now he's looking at Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And he said, Parama Karuna Pahudvijana. He said, the two lords, he said, they're so merciful. He said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He said, they're so merciful. He said, they're distributing love of Godhead. He said, Krishna is also merciful. He said, but he requires that you surrender. He said, but Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't even require surrender. He said, he's so kind. He said, he's just distributing love of Godhead to everyone. And then he just stopped. He couldn't say another word, and tears started coming out of his eyes. And hundreds of us were in there and got to witness Prabhupada. He just went into ecstasy. And his tears were just flowing down. And then he just closed his eyes. And we would sit and you wouldn't hear anything. You wouldn't hear anybody's hands in their bead bag, nothing. Everyone was just still. And we just sat there. And everyone would become ecstatic just because of Prabhupada's ecstasy. And we're all wondering what's happening. And then finally Prabhupada opened his eyes and he just said, chant Hare Krishna. And that was it. He gave the shortest lecture he ever gave in 10 years. He talked for 1 minute and went into ecstasy. And then he said, chant Hare Krishna. So then we had a kirtan. And then so many wonderful things happened in Atlanta, but we have short time. Maybe later on, if you want to hear from 6 o'clock on, we can talk about other things. But again, Prabhupada was going back to Mayapur with all his Western devotees. It was very exciting. So one of my services was, my favorite service, was I massaged Prabhupada. I gave him a massage just before lunch with oil, nice Ayurvedic massage. And again, I would massage him in the evening. And the evening massage was, that I say was my favorite time, because it was in Prabhupada's room, in his bedroom, if he had a bedroom where he was. And no one would ever come to Prabhupada's room. In the afternoon during massage, his secretary might be there talking to him about the mail, or Prabhupada might be speaking to different devotees in the temple, the president or sannyasis or anyone. But the evening time, no one was there. It was just Prabhupada sitting in his bed and me giving him massage. And there was no oil, it was just dry. He'd just rub his legs and his feet, and sometimes he would say, massage his back. So that was my favorite time, because I was alone with Srila Prabhupada, so I really relished that time. So this night, Prabhupada, he's lying back in the bed, his legs are out, and I'm massaging his legs, massaging his feet. And Prabhupada was just lying in this room in Atlanta. And on the opposite wall, there was a picture, big, this size picture, but it was a painting. And it was Krishna and Balaram, and cowherd boys, and calves in Vrindavan. And you just see Krishna and Balaram dancing in the picture. So I'm just rubbing Prabhupada's, and usually Prabhupada was very quiet at this time, might say something. But I'm just rubbing Prabhupada's feet, rubbing his legs, and Prabhupada just looked. And then he said to me, he said, I like the cowherd boys very much. And he was looking at this picture, the old cowherd boy with Krishna Balaram. And I just kept massaging. I was there to massage. And I just smiled. And as I was massaging, he said, every day, he said, Krishna Balaram. they would go into the forest of Vrindavan with the cowherd boys. He said, and they would, he said they were young boys. He said, so they would herd the calves, because they were just little boys, he said. He said, and before they would go, he said, their mothers would make them all tiffins. He said, and Mother Yasoda, she would make a nice tiffin for Krishna with halava, puris, kachuri, and lavdu. He said, and then the other cowherd boys, their mothers would also make them tiffins, but their tiffins, they were not so opulent like Krishna's. He said, their tiffins would have rice, dal, chapati, like that, he said. And I'm just massaging Prabhupada, he's just looking. And then his eyes are closed, and he just kept going on and on. And he said, so every day they would go into the forest. And he said, then, he said, sometimes the cowherd boys, because they would steal Krishna's lunch, and they would play keep away. He said, they would throw it about and keep it from him. He said, and then finally they would give Krishna one of their lunches. He said, so then the cowherd boys, they would eat Krishna's halava, puri, lavdu, and kachuri, like that. They would eat that. He said, and Krishna, he would eat the rice and chapatis and dal. And he kind of laughed. Then he looked at me and he said, I just want to go back to the spiritual world and eat kachuri and lavdu with Krishna. And then he shut his eyes. And that was the last thing he said. That I just kept massaging. And then eventually he would say, okay, take rest. So that was, and that's when you finish. And he said, okay, take rest, and massage and massage. But Prabhupada was just in so much ecstasy. He was going back to Mayapur. So then from there, Srila Prabhupada, he went to Dallas, he stopped in London, and finally he arrived in Mayapur. Now this was 1975, and there were like 500 devotees from all over the world were in Mayapur. So this was the success. This was Prabhupada's success. This was fulfilling the prediction by Lord Chaitanya and by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that people from all over the world would come together and chant Hare Krishna in Mayapur Dham. So Prabhupada came back and he went up into his room. The building had just been finished. It was the guest quarters called the Lotus Building. First thing Prabhupada did in India was build facilities for his disciples. It wasn't temples. He built places for his disciples to stay. That was the first thing. He did it in Vrindavan, he did it in Mayapur, he did it in Bombay. So he was upstairs and Prabhupada said, so everyone is situated nicely. He was talking about his disciples, that they all had nice places to stay. And Chaitanya said, yes, Prabhupada, by your mercy, everything is there. This wonderful place is there. Prabhupada said, it is not my mercy. He said, it's the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, he predicted this. He wanted this, he said. And again, then Chaitanya said, Prabhupada, he said, no, you have done all of this. It's your mercy. And Prabhupada said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he predicted that someone would come and he would bring everyone to Mayapur to chant, you know, together from all over the world. And he said, perhaps that person I am. And then that was all he said. And then he said, so by the way, he said, have you bred those cows together? There was this experiment. They were breeding Sarabi cows from India with Jersey cows and Guernsey cows to come up with a breed that produced a lot of milk that could take the heat. So as soon as Prabhupada said that, perhaps I'm that person, he immediately changed the subject and he asked how the cows were. And then he said, "And are you planting a lot of banana trees in the fields?" So that was it. That was the only hint. You know, every now and then Prabhupada would say the smallest little thing about who he was. But he would never allow any of us in his presence to even speak about it. So he just immediately changed the subject. So then the next morning he goes down into the temple room and he gives class. Now there's 500 devotees from all over the world. They were all from the West. There was 500 devotees and maybe three or four were Bengali, local Bengali devotees. Everyone was from Europe and America. And Prabhupada's looking up on the altar, and there's Radha Madhava and Gaur Nitai. And again, Prabhupada started speaking about how merciful Lord Chaitanya. This was, it was there for everyone, all of us to see. So he spoke and given class, and then all of a sudden he couldn't speak anymore. And again, he just started crying and closed his eyes. And all the whole room, 500 devotees, didn't hear any noise. And right behind Prabhupada's Vyasa-san wasn't against the wall, it was like 10 feet behind. And there was devotees behind Prabhupada. And everyone just quiet. And then all of a sudden you heard, Nama Om Vishnu. And everybody was like shocked, and the devotees started leading kirtan. Well, as soon as he started chanting, Prabhupada's eyes opened up. And then we had kirtan in Prabhupada, played kartals. So after that, of course, we went back up in the Prabhupada's quarters, myself and his secretary, and there was this big discussion going on about what had happened. And Brahmananda was the secretary, was talking with these devotees, and they were saying, well, it wasn't good, we should have just sat there. Prabhupada was in ecstasy, we should have just let him be in ecstasy. And others were saying, no, it was good, we chant Hare Krishna, we're always supposed to chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada says, chant Hare Krishna. So it was going back and forth, and of course no one could make a decision what was right or what was wrong. There was nothing in the books about this situation. So Brahmana said, okay, he said, I'll ask Prabhupada. So I remember Brahmananda and I would go into Prabhupada's room, offer obeisances, and Prabhupada's just now sitting behind his desk, everything's going on as normal. You know, this was one of like five or six times I saw Prabhupada go in ecstasy in the Vyasa-san. But he never spoke about it. So we sit up and Prabhupada's looking at us like yes, he said. And Brahmananda said, Prabhupada, you know, this morning you were on the Vyasa-san and you went into ecstasy. And Prabhupada's looking at him like, what is he? And he said, we want to know, what are we supposed to do? And Prabhupada said, I don't do that very often, he said. And he just had the most humble expression, and the way he said it, it was just so much humility. He said, I don't do that very often. And Prabhupada said, yes, but Prabhupada, when it does happen, he said, what should we do? He said, because some devotees think we should just sit there, and other devotees think we should chant. And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, chant Hare Krishna. He said, get out of here. I didn't want to deal with it. You know, just these things. He didn't want to, you know. But it was so sweet, you know, and it was that behavior was just so endearing. So, of course, we went down, and I don't know what he ever told him. And it never happened again. We would always just, it happened at the manor as well. We would always just sit quietly because we would just love it. See, this is what we live for. You know, because Prabhupada never showed these things. We're always talking about Krishna consciousness, and when you're Krishna conscious and be in ecstasy and Krishna prema, all these things. But we weren't experiencing it. And we just wanted to see Prabhupada do it sometimes, show us something. Like, this is what everyone wants, to see these miracles. So sometimes a little bit slip out by causeless mercy, and we get to witness Prabhupada in such an amazing, amazing state. So I think it's just a few minutes before, so we're going to end class on time, so we have nice kirtan, and then there's prasadam, and then there's question and answer, if you like, between 6 and 8 o'clock, for those of you who will be here. And my wife, Amekla, she's outside. I have books here if anyone would like them. And I will sign them for you if you like. And just like to thank everyone for being here. We've had such a wonderful time here. We hope we get the opportunity to come back again soon. We're not so far away in England. And, any quick questions? Maybe we can take one question.
Yeah. How is it possible for us to never met the Prabhupada?
You have to pray for it a lot, just like we do. You just have to want it. The same way we can have a connection with Krishna. You have to desire it above everything else. Because we have to desire that, have that desire for Krishna, and you'll automatically, it will be through Srila Prabhupada. But we just have to show him that that's what we want, you know, more than anything. Because just like Krishna is not a cheap thing, Prabhupada's very merciful and very kind. But if we just really want it, we can get it. Just like, I mean, our own coming to Krishna consciousness is because we had that desire for one reason or another, whether it was because we were in distress or just unhappy, whatever it was, something brought us to Krishna consciousness because of this desire. So we really have to cultivate that a taste. And just like we get that, how when we do this, when we, you know, talking about Srila Prabhupada, it develops our taste. Everything's about that taste. So because we have a taste for so many other things, it diminishes that desire. It's another, we could talk about that. That word desire, Prabhupada said that. You know, the most important thing is what we desire. Because we get what we desire. We get what we deserve. But so that's how. Just by really having an intense desire. And you can actually experience any of us, whether you were there to see him when he was here or not. You can experience that same feeling of Srila Prabhupada's presence. Jai Shri Guru Nitya Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.